This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture with Tina Camellia, Sharmila Ganesan and Sumitra Savaraj. Our next story is about the much-loved and missed Robin Williams.
Yes, so do tell us, what is your favourite Robin Williams role? You can let us know on Twitter. You can tweet us at BFM Radio. You can also WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or call us, if you'd rather tell us in person, 0377-332-900. And we did have a couple of people WhatsApp us in. Anwar Juma Boy said that his favorite movie is his favorite Robin Williams movie is Good Morning Vietnam, where he loved his performance. And let's see, someone else, I'm not sure what their name is, but they said Robin Williams watched a lot of his movies. The first thing that popped to my mind about his movies are Mrs. Doubtfire, Patch Adams, Jumanji, and Night at the Museum 1 and 2. Ooh. That is a huge variety of movies there. So yes, you can continue to let us know what your favorite Robin Williams role is. So for many of us who remember watching one particular movie of his, The Dead Poets Society, when we ourselves were back in school, it might actually be surprising to know that this year is the movie's 30th anniversary. The movie came out in 1989.
Yeah, nothing like a factoid like that to make me feel old.
I know. I decided to share my misery as well. and this week, it's also been 5 years since the movie's star, Robin Williams, passed away. The hugely popular actor and comedian died by suicide on the 11th of August, 2014. He was aged 63 at that time. So while there are many, many movies that come to mind when you say Robin Williams, we thought we would celebrate both Dead Poets Society's 30th anniversary and through that, Robin's legacy.
So to refresh your memory, Dead Poets Society is set in 1959 in an elite American boys' school, and Robin Williams plays a new English teacher, John Keating, who inspires and encourages his students through the teaching of poetry. In fact, the first thing he does is teach them how not to think of poetry.
We're not laying pipe. We're talking about poetry. I mean, how can you describe poetry like American Bandstand? Well, I like Byron. I give him a 42, but I can't dance to him. Now, I want you to rip out that page. Go on. Rip out the entire page. You heard me. Rip it out. Rip it out! Go on. Rip it out! Thank you, Mr. Dalton. Gentlemen, tell you what, not just tear out that page, tear out the entire introduction. I want it gone. History. Leave nothing of it.
While I feel very strongly about tearing pages out of books, you've got to admit that that was a scene that really got people like, oh, I can do this?
Yes.
I can actually do this?
The looks on the boys' faces when they're like, rip out the introduction to this book?
Yes. Yeah. But of course, Keating's lesson to the boys extended far beyond just poetry, right? Because through his lessons, he teaches them the importance of independent thought, of living life to the fullest, standing up for what is important to them. And this is what I feel good teachers do.
Yes, should do.
Should do.
Yeah.
I had a teacher who was like that for me. She was my ad maths teacher, but very early on in secondary school, she felt that I should explore writing. She said that language was something that I should really look into more seriously. And she sent me and she signed me up for a young for a new program that the Star was running, and that's how I became the first brat. I was in the first brats too.
But wow, okay.
Yeah, so I was in that cohort, that first ever group, and it set me down a path of learning about writing. And today, that teacher, Sheila Singham, happens to be a friend of mine. And our relationship has evolved over the years, but I'll never forget the fact that good teachers recognize potential.
I think that is one of the things that Dead Poets Society has become famous for, right? That idea that teaching is not just about imparting the lessons, but it's about what else you inspire your students to become. And of course, there are a couple of scenes from the movie that have become cemented in movie history. And one of those scenes is that "Oh, Captain, My Captain" scene where John Keating draws on Walt Whitman's poem. Yeah. And of course, that scene comes back towards the end. But the other, which really captures the essence of what Dead Poets Society and Keating's lesson to the boys is about, is this.
Gather ye rosebuds while ye may. The Latin term for that sentiment is carpe diem. Now, who knows what that means? Seize the day. Gather ye rosebuds while ye may. Why does the writer use these lines? Because we are food for worms, lads. Because believe it or not, each and every one of us in this room is one day going to stop breathing, turn cold, and die. I'd like you to step forward over here and peruse some of the faces from the past. You've walked past them many times, but I don't think you've really looked at them. Did they wait until it was too late to make from their lives even one iota of what they were capable? Because you see, gentlemen, these boys are now fertilizing daffodils. But if you listen real close, you can hear them whisper their legacy to you.
So Dead Poets Society was directed by Peter Weir and written by Tom Schulman, who based the screenplay for the movie on his own experiences at school and two specific teachers he had had. And Schulman received an Academy Award for Best Original Screenplay for his work on the movie. And it was also nominated for Best Movie, Best Director, and Robin Williams was nominated for Best Actor.
Yes, and while it's true that the movie is now remembered for its inspiring portrayal of a teacher, what makes the movie so powerful is actually its conflicts, right. which a lot of people don't recall or remember easily, right? Keating's approach is actually deeply frowned upon by other teachers and many parents. And in the movie, eventually, spoiler alert, if you haven't watched it and don't want to know, he eventually ends up being blamed for the suicide of a student. And because of that, at the end of the film, he's made to leave the school in disgrace. And so it's not really a happy ending in that sense. But that scene, that sort of turn of events actually gives us that scene that everyone remembers from Dead Poets Society.
Leave, Mr. Keating. I said leave, Mr. Keating.
Captain, my captain.
Sit down, Mr. Anderson. Do you hear me? Sit down. Sit down. This is your final warning, Anderson. How dare you? Do you hear me?
Oh, Captain, my captain.
Mr. Overstreet, I warn you. Sit down.
Thank you, boys. Thank you.
I did have to restrain myself from climbing onto the studio table
and yelling, "Oh, Captain, my Captain."
In order to kind of do the story today, I rewatched that scene on YouTube. And I've got to admit that you discover new things about that scene. Mm-hmm. I think that the more you watch it, it was amazing to watch and to see the trepidation on the boys' faces. Even when one boy stands up on the table, that nervousness is so palpable. Can I do this too? And it's a metaphor, isn't it? It's a metaphor for solidarity. I know one person has stood up for themselves. Can I join in too?
Yeah. I read this really interesting article in The Guardian by someone who did a tribute to Dead Poets Society, who said that the writer had said that he remembered that scene as all the boys in the class standing up. And only when he rewatched it, he realized actually it's just about half of the boys, and the ones who aren't standing up are not even looking at John Keating.
I noticed this too when I rewatched that clip. Every boy who's not on the table has his back hunched and is facing away.
Yeah. So it really is, I think that tension in that scene about how even when there is change or inspiration or someone showing you a way to be better, it's not always easy to get everyone on board with that idea, right? No. And I was very young when I first watched Dead Poets Society. I think I'm you know, as I'm older, I feel like there are different things that I've started appreciating about it.
It's also quite interesting to listen to a clip rather than watching it. It's a different experience. The nuances in the voice, mm-hmm. to me, seem a little bit more apparent.
Yes.
I know what I'll be watching this weekend. But, so, I mean, Robin Williams and Dead Poets Society are almost inseparable. In fact, after Robin's death in 2014, the hashtag "Oh Captain, My Captain" went viral for the first time.
Yeah, because no social media when the movie first came out.
And Robin, of course, has many such movies which come to mind for most people. There's Good Morning Vietnam, which was mentioned by one of our listeners who texted mm-hmm. in just now. Mrs. Doubtfire, Jumanji, Patch Adams, Good Will Hunting, for which he won a Best Supporting Actor Oscar. Mm-hmm. And there were many more, actually.
Yeah. So to get an idea of the impact of Dead Poets Society and Robin Williams on popular culture, I spoke earlier today to our resident movie expert and co-host of Skip Intro, Bahir Yusuf. So Bahir, why does Dead Poets Society have such an enduring legacy?
For me at least, I'm not going to pretend to speak for everybody else. I think for me at least, it was in a strange way, it was the first sort of serious Robin Williams role I saw. And I saw it very late. It came out in 89. I would have been 6 if my math is correct. So I had seen all his other stuff, right? I'd seen Aladdin, Mrs. Doubtfire, Tu Wong Fu, Jumanji, Birdcage, Jack. I'd even seen stuff like, you know, Mork and Mindy. Watched this 2002 Robin Williams Live on Broadway special, way too young. So when I went back to, when I finally saw Dead Poets Society, it was a weird thing to watch Robin Williams not be flubber, you know, not be that over the top big, you know, that Jumanji, what year is it kind of Robin Williams, to see this nurturing, teaching, mentoring kind of Robin Williams was weird, but also very satisfying. I didn't know I wanted it until I saw it, and then I realized I want more of this. Mm-hmm. The thing about Dead Poets Society is that we were just talking earlier about how we both did English Lit and we both had to do it separately. And I hope you had a great teacher, because I had a pretty good teacher.
I did. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and for me, it's that thing of like, poetry isn't math. In the words of the film, you know, when he was talking about understanding poetry, we're not laying pipe. You can't describe poetry like American Bandstand. You can't give it a score. That's not poetry, mm-hmm. right? So I wish I had more teachers like that who taught me physics, chemistry, maybe math, I guess, if they could, or English or Bahasa, or I want teachers like that. They're not going off of a book. He's talking about how poetry is life and how life is poetry. When he was talking about why we have language, he says it's to women. You know, it's not to communicate, because, you know, no, it's not. It's about being more than just communicating. It's about drawing color. It's about describing feelings and emotions and clouds. And to me, that idea, an ideal of what a educator, teacher, mentor can be, is what is for me the enduring legacy of Robin Williams in Dead Poets Society.
You do mention Robin Williams as being the linchpin of this movie.
Yeah.
Why is that so? What does he specifically bring to the role?
He brings an innocence, but not naivety. He brings an innocence of how poetry is the most important thing in his world, at least, in that it is describing life. In his classroom, the kids have grown up to become, you know, stars in their own right. But every time I think about Dead Poets Society, I'm thinking of Robin Williams.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking about how Robert Williams talks about W.W., Walt Whitman, right? And it's that is the, for me, the linchpin of the film. It's you know, it's got a slightly not so happy ending, but he's there. He's the heart of the film. Yeah.
What makes Robin Williams himself, as an actor, as a cultural phenomenon, so significant?
I think, to sort of go back to the film, there's this one beautiful scene where he's talking to the boys. I think maybe when he meets them for the first time, he's out in the hallway talking about Carpe Diem, seize the day.
Yes.
It's this idea of, that's almost like how he lived his life, right? I've seen photos of him dressed as a Denver Broncos cheerleader coming out on the field. And it's just this idea of, you know, this is, you live your life before you become worm food, before you become, before you start feeding daffodils. It's, that's the idea of, I've got this life, this is all I have, and just sort of seize the day, do it, right? And unfortunately for him, his star burned bright, but burned very short. But what we can say is he's got a great legacy of films and materials he's just left behind for the rest of us. And for me, it's that idea of Robin Williams will always put a smile on my face. Jumanji, Mrs. Doubtfire, Mork and Mindy. If you haven't seen Mork and Mindy, go back, try and find some episodes of Mork and Mindy. It is that innocence of a 20-something just thinking he's invincible and doing... He's an alien arriving in the world of Happy Days. Just try and imagine how you would need to be as a person to be brave enough to do that. To be a character actor, to be an actor, to be a personality, to go, yeah, I'll do that. I'll go nanu nanu and jump on screen, right? To me, that is the enduring legacy. For him to have the braveness to do something like Good Morning Vietnam, and which starts off as kind of like a, not happy, but slightly funny personality character thing, and then sort of really goes into a Vietnam, the war that is the Vietnam War. There's just something about him, that innocence, the vigor, the strength, the, and I guess in some ways the underlying moroseness that it be, that is being an American comedian personality always asking to perform, which is, I guess, it ultimately led to his unfortunate downfall, I guess.
That was Bahir Yusuf, co-host of BFM's movie show Skip Intro. Yeah, so lots of movies that he pointed out there, and I think many of you feel the same. It's quite difficult to pick one overwhelming favorite when it comes to Robin Williams films. We had people tweeting in to say, let's see, CW said that their favorite movie is Patch Adams and Bicentennial Man. Far-fetched story back then, but not so much from today's perspective. Vivasan tweeted to say, too many, how do you pick one? I might agree there. Hakure Hime tweeted in to say, Mrs. Doubtfire, Jumanji and Aladdin and their fondest childhood memories. Every time I think of Robin Williams, I think back about my happiest childhood days. And let's see, Comics Mai tweeted in to say Popeye, which is a childhood favorite.
I'd forgotten about
really
that
old one.
I know, yeah. I'd forgotten that he was in Popeye actually. So yes, you can continue to tweet us what you think your favorite Robin Williams role is at BFM Radio. We did get a couple of WhatsApps in as well. Patrick Ong said that his favorite movie is Patch Adams. And let's see, there was I don't know who this person's name is, but they say Aladdin makes quite an impression on me when made quite an impression on me when I was a kid. But the more serious, emotional movies of Robin Williams that really got to me was Bicentennial Man. There's just something about life and death that Bicentennial Man narrates that when you watch it again makes you appreciate life more. They also really liked the last the third installment of Night at the Museum. Don't want to spoil his last line, but really hits me emotionally.
That was one of his last films, no?
Yes. I think it might have been...
Was it released after his...
I can't quite recall, but I know that it was one of the last films that we saw him on screen in. And then Kesh texted in to say that Good Will Hunting is his favorite Robin Williams role. And this one, I'm pretty sure, is not true, but it's quite funny, so I'm going to read it anyway. Julian texted in to say, the memory of Robin Williams lives on as the picture of Uncle Slocum on the gardenia bread wrappers.
No, that's not Robin Williams.
You guys need to Google that and then let us know if you agree or disagree with
Julian.
But maybe
he likes Robin so much that he sees him everywhere. That's what I'd like to think.
What's your favorite Robin Williams film?
You know, I think it's a tie between something like Dead Poets Society, which I love, and is and Good Will Hunting, so that kind of role. But really, for me, I like the movies that Robin has done that are much darker, because there's a real truth and honesty and emotionality to the way he plays the roles. 1 Hour Photo, Final Cut, Those are, I don't know, he plays these characters that are sort of isolated on the fringe of society. And in many ways, I think it's the counterpoint of that personality that we're used to seeing. Yeah, very honest and really difficult to watch, but some excellent work.
Oh, 1 hour photo. I'm glad you reminded me of that one. That one was really hard hitting. Mm-hmm. And especially since you, when you're used to seeing Robin Williams, you know, in, you know, larger than life, gregarious roles, to see that transformation. And it goes to show what range the man had.
Exactly. Yeah, absolutely.
Even his humor, his comedy has got this tinge of, It's there's warmth and compassion in it, unlike the kind of comedy that we're used to when it comes from Hollywood, the more like slapsticky your face.
It has heart, right? Yeah. Like there's a real humanity behind the humor, especially his movies. His stand-up can be quite sharp and you know, sometimes confronting, but somehow his roles on screen when he does humor, there's always that element of connection and I don't know, love sometimes. Yeah. What's your favorite, Tina?
Patch Adams.
Oh, Patch Adams is,
I just liked it because I feel like, I mean, it's based on a true story. I'm not taking anything away from the real Patch Adams. But I think what Robin Williams did with that film and that character is to ultra humanize it to the point that, you know, whenever I speak to some of, because I cover some health stories, and when I talk to some of these clown doctors, or, you know, the clowns who go to the hospitals and do this kind of work, humor to heal kind of thing, at some point in conversation, they're going to bring it back to Patch Adams.
Yes.
And when you kind of dig deeper, is it Patch Adams, the real Patch Adams, or is it the film Patch Adams? And,
oh, interesting.
And a lot of them would mention first the film.
Right.
And before then acknowledging, oh, actually, it is based on a real person, right?
Yeah.
And you kind of, and again, I'm not taking anything away from the real Patch Adams, but Robin Williams kind of brought to light that story that you know, and humanized that kind of approach of using humor to alleviate pain and suffering.
So Patrick, who mentioned, who WhatsApped earlier to say Patch Adams was his favorite, also said that he's so inspired by Patch Adams that he's already adopted the name Patch as his own and hope to brand it more and more.
Okay.
if you liked it enough to use the name. Yeah. Sumitra, what's yours?
Good Morning Vietnam, for exactly the same reason that you mentioned, Tina. It's a brilliant example of using humor to get through what is a very bleak and dark situation. And it also addressed the war, which is a pain point with many Americans or U.S. citizens, in a way that was, I don't know how to describe the effusiveness that he brought to the role. Also, at the same time, reminded you of the gravity of the situation beyond the walls of the camp.
It's quite something, isn't it, to be the kind of actor or performer who affects so many people with his works in so many ways, and really manages to stay on in people's memories for such specific roles.
A true legacy.
Absolutely. So you can let us know what your favorite Robin Williams role or movie is. You can tweet us at BFM Radio, WhatsApp 018-789-8899. We'll get to them right after Friend Like Me by Robin Williams from Aladdin.
The Bigger Picture on BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
If you've just joined us, it's the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture with Tina, Sharmila and Sumitra. We're just about to wrap up the hour, but here's a quick summary of the show today.
Our first story was about a bacteria bodysuit to combat body odour.
So we did get Yasmin WhatsApping in to say, over the years, she has encountered two colleagues with extremely bad BO. One had a thyroid issue and it came to a point where she no longer cared, but the rest of us suffered as even her chair in the office absorbed the smell. So we worked around it using air fresheners.
Okay.
And she said that the second was a subordinate and other colleagues insisted that she speak to them about it. This person was also not bothered and she had to insist that she do something because it was starting to affect people at work. And Yasmin said she ended up buying her deodorant to use in the office.
Okay.
Which I think is a nice gesture.
Yeah. I guess so.
And then the second story that we talked about was this week being the 5th anniversary of the actor Robin Williams' death. So we were asking you on Twitter and on WhatsApp what your favourite Robin Williams role is. And Nini WhatsApped in to say Mrs. Doubtfire. Mm. Jason WhatsApped in to say Patch Adams. And we had Alfie on Twitter saying, don't forget 1 hour photo, the saddest portrayal of a loner by Robin Williams.
Mm. Yeah. All right. So I guess that's it for the hour. Thank you for tuning in and for sharing us your thoughts, your favorite Robin Williams films. I think we've all got our Netflix.
I know,
list
for the whole
queued.
Weekend.
I feel like binge watching Robin Williams movies.
So if you miss any part of today's show, you can download the podcasts from bfm.my/dailydigest or from our BFM app or look us up on Spotify. Coming up at 3 p.m. is Law and Behold, Lim Suen examines the proposed independent police complaints and misconduct commission. So do stick around for that. Till then, we'll leave you with Betty versus the NYPD by John Spencer Blues Explosion on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.